Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Is It Just Me? It's that podcast where we talk about utter nonsense. And somehow, it's the most important stuff you'll ever ponder in your life. Isn't that right, James Williams?
Yes, I'm James Williams.
Yes, that's my host, my co-host, my host, my boss, my pod husband, James Williams. And this is me. I'm Jo Elvin. I think I still remember my name. I've had quite the weekend, which we might talk about in a minute.
You got to talk about that weekend. I'm not letting you not talk about your weekend. You miss owning the royal wedding.
It's not like I got married, is it?
It feels like it. It definitely, I feel like, I mean, I was watching it in a pub, and people who know you by association to me were starstruck that you were there. They were like, oh my God, it's Jo. I knew Jo.
Well, we'll get all to that in a minute. But we've got an amazing guest star with us today. One of my absolute favourites. Star of stage, screen, Hollywood, television, W1A, Guardians of the Galaxy, and currently, as we speak, starring in Nightfall in the West End, up west. It's the uber-talented and even lovelier Ophelia Loverbond.
Hi!
Hello.
You have to be lovely with a name like that.
I know.
It feels like a pressure.
Is it a burden?
No! People...
It sounds like a Bond...
It's amazing.
Sort of heroin.
It's either, well, it could be a Bond heroine or a Bond villain, or it's people in LA thought it sounds like a Disney character.
Yeah.
They all think it's made up. And then none of them ever, I always had to get my driver's license to show that it's real.
You must have had impossibly glamorous parents.
No.
They must have been.
No, they're great. Glamorous isn't a word I'd use. Just inventive.
Yeah. That's glamorous. Yeah.
Who are you named after?
Ophelia from Hamlet.
It is, yeah.
The one who kills herself.
So, cheery. But you were destined to be an actress then with that.
I couldn't not be, really. Yeah. I think my mum must have known. Maybe I was delivering soliloquies in the womb or something.
And was it always about acting for you from something you can remember?
My first ambition, I wanted to be Superman.
Naturally.
That was my first, I was
convinced.
I
wanted to be a cowboy when I was about six.
Yep, six. Yeah,
I wanted to, be Wonder Woman, so we could have worked out quite well. Yeah,
that would be quite a good trio.
We were so gender fluid before
our... Weren't we? Ahead of the game.
Yeah.
That was stayed with me for quite a long time. I really did insist.
Well, what made the dream die?
I don't know. The dream is dead. Might achieve it one day.
Did you have to be... Were you one of those kids who had to be talked off roofs, about to jump off when you came?
No, but I did have to be talked off stages that didn't belong to me. Like, I think there was some kind of pantomime... I think Michael Barrymore was doing some kind of panto somewhere in Wiltshire, and I answered a question, was asked up on stage to kind of be clapped at, and then wouldn't leave the stage, and just he was trying to get on with the next part of the thing, and I was just running around backstage, and my mum was like, and I just kept screaming, I am Superman, I am Superman.
I think therein lies the secret of Ophelia's acting success. Just get on that damn stage.
Exactly.
Oh, don't get off until they just give you a part.
Yeah.
Just do it.
It's right. So maybe it was always about acting. Then I wanted to be a dancer, so I was decided that was my whole life for a few years. And then when I was 10, I realised, oh, I'm an actor.
So when you say dancing, what kind of dancing?
Ballet. I did lots of ballet.
Oh, you.
Doesn't mean I was very good, just because I did it.
Well, better than me.
I loved it, yeah, but my sister was more the dancer. But yeah, I was 10 years old and just... That seems really strange. If I were to meet a 10-year-old now and they said, I'm gonna be an actor, that's what I'm gonna do, you kind of think, oh, that's sweet, they're into a nice hobby, that's lovely. You wouldn't take them seriously. You kind of underestimate how determined a 10-year-old can be.
I kind of envy you, though, because I used to hate the question when I was growing up, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because I'd get really stressed because I just didn't know.
A lot of my friends still feel that way.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm always trying to tell kids and my daughter, is that a lot of people don't know for a long time, and you just sort of like suddenly realise one day you wake up and you've pieced together that you've got a passion here and a passion there, and somehow it all kind of comes together. But it's rare to know what you want to do,
I think, it's
when you're young.
Yeah, I think I was really lucky in that respect, because then you can still do lots of other things, but you know always that's kind of the super objective that you've got in the back of your mind. So even if I went to uni and did English, but I always knew I'll do that and satisfy that, but I know I want to.
So how did you make it happen then? Obviously, there was a huge amount of visualisation going on there. If you knew from an early age what your dream and your passion was, what do you think was the thing that made it happen?
I think I don't even know if it would have been a kind of a conscious visualisation when I was that young. I mean, now it certainly is. I know when people always ask David Beckham, how do you get the penalties when you're under so much pressure? He said, because I've done it thousands of times in my mind. I think there is a lot to be said for that. But I think just knowing that that's what I wanted to do, and just and not being going to auditions and not being knocked off my perch when I didn't get them, just understanding instinctively very young this is part of it, and it's not kind of people going to go, oh, you've got to deal with the rejection. I think I just realised quite young it's not a case of they don't like you, you're no good, you're being rejected. It's just it's not the right fit. It doesn't mean you are never the right fit. It's just in this occasion. I think I just had that kind of steely determination.
But that's such maturity as well. That's but
also,
astonishing.
In a way, it makes sense because the odds are always against you, aren't they? The truth is, one person gets that part.
Yeah.
You know, versus how many people don't get the part. So
yeah.
I guess if you look at it that way, rather than just thinking, oh, I'm awful, I'm terrible, which is, we talk about this a lot, you always think it's about you, and it's often just not, it's not as personal as always, you know, it's not personal.
When you've
it?
Been in, sometimes I've been sitting with producers when I'm already filming something and they're kind of casting another role, maybe a kind of smaller role for something that's just in one scene, and you have witnessed how quickly they make those decisions, and they just sometimes I shouldn't say this, but they don't even watch the whole tape sometimes. It's just it's a look, because it's just one scene and the look is more important than a lot of stuff. They often watch them on silent so they can get and you kind of think, I don't want to see that process, but it's very clear that it isn't about, it's not personal.
Yeah, but it's also probably quite instinctive, isn't it, as well? And you know, it's a bit like going on a date with somebody. You know within the first 30 seconds if you fancy them, and I guess it's a similar thing. Maybe you applied to casting directors, they probably know if they're right for a part very quickly.
I think, yeah, Nina Gold in an interview recently, she a newspaper, she was talking about that. She said it's not, it must feel so personal, but it's just this kind of je ne sais quoi, it's just the kind of, why do you bother auditioning people? It's not, it's almost not to see, are you any good? It's just, is this something here that is gonna, that's who the person is, that there they are.
How has the whole sort of FaceTime Skype thing changed that process for you guys?
I think it's great. Loads of actors don't like it. I mean, it is strange when you have to do self-tape and then you have to edit it yourself, because that is not a situation I think is conducive to being creatively free, when you're having to examine your own performance immediately after giving it and then sending off into the ether. That's not maybe not the most healthy thing to have to do, but it does mean that you can audition for something on the other side of the world and you land the part, and then days later you're flying to New York to shoot a TV show. I mean, that just wouldn't have happened.
Because in the olden days, presumably if you did want to audition for that part, would you have had to fly yourself there?
Yeah.
See, that is amazing if you think about it, in terms of opportunities being opened up.
Or why there's so much more people across the pond now because of that. I think it's great. I remember doing an audition, so I did a self-tape, and then I got a recall, and we had to set up the laptop next to the camera, and then the director was giving me direction via Skype while we filmed it. And, you know, you can become quite creative with that, because you can keep in their reactions in the tape. You don't edit them out, because you're kind of going, look, the director found it really funny. Just kind of, you can become quite creative. You can, if that's the situation being put in, then make the most of it.
But also, you're suddenly a video editor as well as an actor.
Oh, I've made so many iMovies with your birthdays. My friends Hendu, I made a big kind of movie thing on iMovie with all the different sounds and kind of theme tunes. It's just, you become a dab hand.
You're fleshing out that CV.
Yep. Watch out, Coppola.
And so tell us what you're doing at the moment. You're on stage at the moment.
So I'm doing a play at the moment, called Nightfall, at the Bridge Theatre. We finished this Saturday.
Is that different than the Bridge Scuzzy Leisure Centre near my house?
There's not a really horrible
kiddie pool attached to it. It is a different place.
It's a different place. I mean, the Thames is right there, if you would fancy that.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Oh my God, did you see that video last week of the guy who fell in?
It was so brilliant.
How? Where? From?
I don't know. I guess if you Google man sliding downstairs into the Thames.
Well, it looked like they were trying to go in. They were sort of taking their tops off. And then obviously they were walking down these sort of slightly muddy steps towards the Thames. And I think he just slipped and it just slid into the... it was brilliant.
I'm not proud to say I'm there anytime anyone wants to show me videos of people falling over.
Me too.
Why is that so funny?
I can't
funny?
Help it.
It never gets old.
Why is it funny?
There's this one video of a compilation of models falling over on the catwalk.
Oh, no.
That I must have seen about 100 times at this point, and I'm like, I tear up laughing every time I watch it. It comes up on my Facebook memories because I put it on Facebook.
I need that in my life. How do I miss that?
I like it when it's just when it's just people in the street. I mean, myself included. When you fall over, there's something that's so.
As long as they're not mortally wounded, then anything that you can get up from again is hilarious.
Yeah, or particularly old. I feel like I have a cut-off point where it's not funny.
No, not...
You no one wants to see a really old person falling over, but...
It's when you see... There was a guy with a... It's when they pop up, it's when...
You try to pretend, you style it out.
You've got to style it out. You laugh yourself.
You cannot style that out. You just fell over in the middle... There was a guy from London Bridge. He slipped over, but he kind of fell... almost 4 times. It kind of got progressively worse.
Amazing.
And he was right in front of me, and he was wearing a suit, and he's this very kind of well-to-do man, and he just, I think he was mortified. I was like, you're right. And he was like, yeah, no, what? I wasn't. I mean, I didn't see, I don't understand what you mean, you didn't fall over right in front of me.
I think it's to laugh, that's how you laugh at yourself, then you look like a slightly
maniacal
person. But I think you have to. If you're on your own, you have to laugh.
Just enjoy the time down there before you get up again. Just make a thing of it.
It mixes up the day. That's about
it. It was pretty embarrassing the day I tripped over my own trouser leg. That was bad.
The day. It's gone down in history.
Well, and it ended up in the back of an ambulance. I know. There was no styling that one
out. No, there really wasn't.
There was no pretending that didn't happen. Yeah.
That went south very quickly.
You normally want to wedge things, I don't think, Jo, have you?
I have not.
No.
Or a flared trouser.
No, it's a deadly combination.
How did anyone survive the
70s?
Anyway,
Nightfall. You know us. Always staying on topic.
Speaking of falls, we were talking about falls.
Nightfall.
And now we've gone back to Nightfall.
That's the link.
Yeah.
Not really, but we brought it back somehow.
Yeah. No, I meant to do that all along.
It was good.
Yeah.
It's really strange. There's no falling over. Maybe I should add some falling over.
I'm out then.
No.
Yeah.
Not for us.
I have, that's false advertising.
Sorry.
But you seem to do quite a good job of balancing TV and film and theatre. Is that true to say?
Maybe it looks like that. I've only got into theatre more recently. It's only in the last 3 years that I've been doing plays. It's kind of what comes along. Because people always, they kind of say, well, what's next? You're going to focus on television. I've never done that, kind of conscientiously pursued a medium. It's always the material.
But don't you think as well, it's changed a lot? Because I think there was obviously that perception, a very old school perception that, real actors did theatre, didn't they? And then obviously everyone wants to be in films, and TV was kind of a bit, looked down upon. And now with Netflix and Amazon Prime,
it's completely changed.
Everything has changed. And I feel now TV is far more where it's at in terms of exciting scripts and budgets.
It's
and,
all the actors want that sort of like longer movie vibe.
Because you can get even more into it.
Yeah.
And I guess stability, right? It tends to be, I know some films can go on for a very long time. Shooting wise, but I guess you're shooting like a TV show 6 months of the year. It's quite nice to have that stability.
I mean, I did a TV show where we were shooting in South Africa for 7 months, and I really did enjoy that. The kind of
is that Houghton
and the Lady. Yeah, like, I really enjoyed that. the regularity of that, but kind of knowing how satisfying it was delivering this huge show, and you so much work went into it, and seeing this amazing crew delivering on this thing. Like, I did love that you become such a family, because you're with each other from about 4:30 a.m. till about 8 p.m. every day, having all your meals together, and it's just, and then you're, and in the meantime you're getting to travel around and like tell stories and pretend and dress up. It's great.
It's not a bad way to make a living, is it?
I really liked it. I think those kind, but that's kind of television is new. And I just think that's what's appealing about it as well. If you've got more, there's more content, there's bigger budgets in it now. It's not, there used to be a huge stigma if you became a TV actor, it was kind of where actors went to die. It's just not the case, and you can switch between
all of them.
Yeah.
Well, it's hilarious because I watched some terrible, like, Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor adaptation of their life the other week. And you forget back then, there was, you know, he was really, like, quite, like, it was bizarre. He was so revered as a stage actor that the idea he would then go and do Hollywood films, there was, like, it was, like, so beneath him. And it was, like, you know.
Really, really crass.
And there's that incredible audio interview where she interrupts an interview of Richard Burton, and defends him, because the line of questioning from this journalist is so offensive, more or less saying that he's dumbing down by going to make Hollywood movies.
What did she say?
She goes, I really object to that. That's so rude. He is a great actor. And she, obviously, because she was the opposite. She was a Hollywood movie star through and through from the age of, 11?
But again, she was such a wonderful actor. Who's afraid of Virginia Woolf? For her performance that is incredible.
It's just bizarre that people would have that kind of snobbery about
it.
People were just bigger snobs back then.
That's true,
bigger
actually.
Snobs, I mean, they just were. Yeah. They were, though, weren't they? It's actually difficult now, I think, to come across too many bona fide, absolutely crashing snobs.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope that's true, yeah.
I think so. Because I think when you do meet one in the wild, it's really quite startling, because you just don't very often.
You often might say something snobby, you know, waiting for the punchline, thinking it's a joke, and oh no, that was a serious comment.
Oh no, you're just a snob.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay, great. Bye.
But you know, people like Katie Hopkins trying to make an issue of whether who's got the most class out of Meghan Markle and Kate Middleton. That is the most
ironic. Is that a real conversation?
Yeah. That's the most ironic thing I've ever heard. But anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're really digressing a lot today. I'm enjoying this, though.
I know, we're forgetting that we're actually many a tangent. Well, let's get back on to some of the tangents. We've got some topics to sort through today.
Okay. We're going to find out, Ophelia, if it's just you.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Let's do it.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Is it just me who still rings my parents to ask them the most basic of things?
Wow.
Wow. No.
Okay, good.
I don't think it is. I don't do that, though.
You don't?
I think I frustrate my parents in that I've it's been a long time since, and I love my parents, and we chat every week, they're in Australia, but it's been a very long time since I genuinely sought their advice about anything.
But I...
That feels like a terrible thing to admit, but I've always been... I think it's like an oldest child thing. Independent, sort of like left to my own devices, blaze the trail for the other siblings.
Also, you're a parent yourself now. And I've always had this theory that you're never truly a grown-up until you actually have to be responsible for somebody else's welfare.
So my feeling is because
I'm not parenting anyone, I'm still the big kid. So I'm with you, Ophelia. I'm still ringing my mum and dad to ask them to help me. Where do I get this from? Or how expensive should this be?
What sort of stuff are you asking?
This is so nerdy. But I will ring my mum and say, Mum, is this sentence grammatically correct? And then she'll be like, it is, but it does sound a bit confused. What are you trying to say? And we'll rearrange the syntax. This is just because it's for no reason. I'm not writing a book or an article. I just have written something down in a text and read it back. Why does that look weird? That sounds strange. I mean, it's just really goofy, but me and my mum interrogate things like that.
But I think that's really sweet.
I love it. I can call her up and she'll know immediately, it is correct, but it does sound wrong. Let's examine why.
Do you talk to each other a lot anyway, though?
Yeah, we do.
So you're quite close.
I'm very close to, yeah.
Yeah. So do you think it's more a case of you just have to mention what's going on in a sort of
specifically. Sometimes I'll copy and paste something.
So how many times a day would you speak to your mum?
Oh, I don't even know that I necessarily would speak to her every day. We've got the family WhatsApp groups. There's a lot of stuff that goes back and forth from that. And
that's very advanced level parenting.
We like that.
My mum's discovered FaceTime, which I've discussed quite a bit on the podcast before, which is terrifying sometimes.
Especially if it happens by accident.
Well, my biggest issue is that she can always see how hungover I am because you can't hide it.
And he's hungover a lot.
my functioning alcoholism. But that's quite... I wish my mum and dad would embrace the WhatsApp because that's actually quite a cool thing to have. Because, you know, what do you do before WhatsApp?
I can't imagine even beginning to try and explain that to my parents.
They both really like it. Yeah,
yeah, it's a good idea, I think.
Well, my mum's also good. She's on Instagram. She loves it. She's like, and she'll like that post. And you're like, this is... Actually, I don't know if I like that. But no, I do. I mean, what else do I call her? I speak to her a lot, but I definitely do ask her advice or just choices. You kind of run by choices and you kind of already know what your decision is. And she actually almost hasn't said anything to you. She's just...
Listen to you.
Telling you what you're telling her.
I think that's great, though. And maybe you're right, James. Maybe it is because I'm a parent. But I don't in any way, and I haven't for a long time, felt like that child. I don't feel like I've got parents in that way. Which, I don't mean that to sound as cold as it did when I said it out loud. but I don't feel like it just never occurs to me to want to be mothered in that way. And I don't really know why that is. I have a little cry now.
Maybe it is because you know, you did move across the world at quite a young age. You've had to look after yourself.
I left
home really young. I literally turned 18 because I'm in August and I went to university straight away. So I was
gone. And
that
was you.
And I've never gone home. I mean, I've gone home. Obviously, I've seen my parents.
Yeah, but
in a weird way, going back to the whole sort of topic, I think my mum and dad actually quite like it that I still ring them and ask them. Because I think it makes them feel like, oh, you know, my opinion is still valid, or, you know, you're still basically my... Because I think the worst thing as a parent, you can maybe attest to this, Joe, is you dread the day when your kid doesn't need you anymore, don't you?
I know,
They literally are so independent. So in a weird way, you probably quite like having that slight bungee cord.
I think it must be really hard. If you are successful as a parent, your children become independent. Yeah. But then that's, you know...
Well, that's what my parents have done.
They've done so well, they don't need me. Brilliant. So that's the sign of success. So you just think that it has to be so much self-restraint to kind of wait till they ask you.
I don't think it's just about... It shouldn't necessarily be the only dynamic. I mean, I'm, you know, like, chat to my parents every week about what's going on and tell them stuff. But I would never be like, oh, please help me with this. Because I feel like I'm also... Maybe it's because I'm so far away as well. Even when I have got problems and, you know, like... medical scares or something like that, I feel like I want to tell them about this when I've found out everything's fine. I don't want to worry them, freaking them out.
That's fair enough. But I also think as well, I think it's a sign that your parents are really good parents, that they let you move as far away as you did. Like, I've always said that because, you know,
but they didn't let me, they had no choice. I mean, I've honestly always had that dynamic. It's like, here's what I'm doing, I've never said, can I?
Well,
you know, it's,
okay, I guess, well, I remember, you know, I have friends from school, and it was not even an option for them to go to university further than 20 miles away.
Really?
Like, yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, when I, you know, well, they thought my parents were in, but I'm
moved... I don't agree with that.
Well, no, I don't. I mean, I think, you know, you should, like you said, you should basically build confident kids who then can take on the world.
I mean, and she's, yeah, my mum, we all went travelling and everything. My brother's off to Africa on Wednesday. I went to Uganda on my own when I was 18, and she's like, well, you know, you're sensible. If you do anything stupid, be it upon your own head. If you do anything brilliantly, be it upon your own head.
But when your daughter's called Ophelia Loverbond, I mean, that basically comes with like an inbuilt cape. That's nothing. It's all going to be good.
Yeah, it's very handy. Yeah. Yes.
What are your siblings' names?
Letitia and Rupert.
I mean, come on. It's so glamorous.
It's a good trio, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
I mean, it would be funny if they were called like Brian and Tracy. Though.
Yeah,
Brian and Ophelia. They're
really theatrical names. We lived on a housing estate in Hammersmith. Like, we wasn't. I mean, they must have thought, who are these people?
I just think it's hilarious that I was born when I was a kid. When a teacher said Joanne at school, honest to God, 25 girls went yes. It's like literally. I think it was the trendiest name that my parents gave me in 1970. And then it was by the time my sister was born in the 80s, her name was Brooke, because I think they'd just been watching loads of Dynasty and Knots Landing.
Excellent.
So, and it's kind of like that's how their names
Knots
evolved.
Landing.
But
oh,
yeah, she was trying for the Ophelia level of glamour with Brooke, but it didn't quite work.
Brooke, I think that it's quite glamorous.
It was.
Brooke.
It's very 80s, though. Yeah.
But names come and go. They go. But whereas I think Ophelia's quite timeless, isn't it? Do you meet lots of little Ophelias?
I've met one, and she was 10 days old. Oh, I did have a successful campaign, and I was a makeup artist doing my makeup for Mr. Sloan, and she was heavily pregnant. And every single day, I would write my own name / Ophelio in case it was a boy, and stick the post-its on her station every single day for about 2 months. And then finally, after we finished filming, I got a message from her, and she was like, welcome to the world, baby Ophelia. I was like,
oh,
yes!
Oh.
Succeeded! And she was just like, I mean,
well, it's a lovely name for a boy. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. That's fine.
He'll deal with it.
He'll deal with it.
That tenacity, that paid off. So I guess, in summary, yes, I think it's totally fine.
Of course
thanks.
It is.
But, you know, but also, if you are a strong, independent person that doesn't need to do it, that's fine too.
You
so we're basically,
both.
We're fence sitting on this one.
As long as you're not, like, one of my relatives who I can't be too specific about, who once didn't go to their first day at their new job because they couldn't find a parking space and came home crying to their parent.
Oh.
So you don't want to be that level.
That's something else.
That level of dependency.
Yeah. That's a distant relative, by the way. Distant. Nobody seriously connected to me. But I
don't send hate emails to our lovely email address. It's isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. But do send us emails suggesting some topics and some guests you might like to see on the show.
You can send hate. I'm in the mood.
No.
Bring it.
I'll send some hate then.
Bring it. This one, guys, James Williams, Ophelia Loverbond, might make you at least laugh, James. It isn't just me who is comfortable with silence. You'd never know it, would you, listening to this?
Not to listen to this show.
But,
yeah, it's quite ironic.
Well, I think I'm more uncomfortable when people can't handle moments of silence.
Yes, exactly.
There's nothing worse than somebody who just fills the air for no reason. Like, well, again, I'm sensing the irony as I talk on this podcast. I'm filling the air with no reason on it. But, you know, do you know what I mean? Like that
because
sort of...
it's smacks of discomfort. That's
yes,
why.
That's actually... a character in the play, the mother, she does that. She talks incessantly when she's nervous about something. She can't just sit in the moment and allow the feelings to be felt. It's just if she keeps talking, the noise will push the feelings away.
Yeah.
And it's exactly that.
And I think that's what most people do.
I just often think, well, I think it's fine to just feel something and be silent for a while. I mean, I'm a bit strange about it though. Like I can pick my sense of hearing really strong. So if I'm on the tube and someone's listening to something really, really, really loud down the end, I kind of think, really, is that? I mean, maybe it's me. Maybe I should walk around with earplugs. I'm trying to read my. But maybe I'm being too annoying.
Do you mean people listening to music on the tube? Loudly?
Yeah, yeah.
But, as in through their headphones, it's so loud.
Yeah, and you kind of look at them and kind of think, your ears, please look after them.
No, I don't understand those people. There's something wrong with them.
But maybe that's just because I like it to be nice and.
No, but I do think that's really. Annoying. It's also.
But I can tune pretty much everybody else out on a train journey as long as no one wants to talk to me. Is I have a lot of car. You're probably the same. You probably get driven to various places and locations. Yeah. And it's those long car trips, and the driver wants to talk to you for sometimes an hour and a half. And that might be your only time to collect your thoughts,
yeah,
or to concentrate on what you're going to do for the day, or just sleep. Not have to talk to anybody.
You feel really rude when you do. Kind of
and
think,
I never,
oh,
I have a friend who will say, I'm very sorry, but I just don't want to talk today.
Oh, God, I just couldn't
and
say
I,
that.
I so admire the balls of that, but I can't do it. So I feel so rude
because I think I've been stuck in my car all day. I quite like a chat, actually. It's partly why I do this job. You can think, oh, but I don't.
I know, yeah.
I don't want to.
But I think there's a difference, isn't there, between silence with people you don't... Because I mean, I'll be honest, if I just met you and you gave me the very silent treatment, I'd be like, she doesn't like me. She's not very friendly.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know you to be comfortable in silence. I would say the ultimate sign of true friendship is comfortable in silence.
Yeah.
It's when you know you haven't got to bother with small talk, you haven't even got to fill
that
any air.
That is lovely.
You can just sit there and just veg and not say anything. Or enjoy being just in each other's company without having to incessantly talk.
I had one of the nicest moments on a holiday, actually. It was with a friend. It's just the two of us went away, and we'd been out the night before, kind of maybe a bit worse for wear the next day, and we just sat on this balcony, kind of a Juliet balcony, with a glass of wine in hand, and just looked and with the sunset. It was incredibly romantic. Watched the sunset, and we were in silence probably for, I don't know, a couple of hours, just sitting there, just enjoying, just and we kind of turned to each other, going, God, this was really lovely. But it was genuinely, there's very few people I could do that with, and it was genuinely, we were enjoying each other's company, but just being there witnessing it. We didn't need to kind of give updates or send each other hilarious messages while we were doing it, or just, you know how people text each other and sit next to each other?
Yeah,
that's weird.
how would you have handled this, you two? Years ago I went for a really major job interview, and I had to go meet the big boss of this company, and the advice I'd got was, he doesn't talk much, don't be tempted to fill every silence. And with that dynamic, that was so difficult, because there would be like 30, 40 seconds sometimes between me answering and this person then asking me another question, and the urge to just think, oh, I haven't said enough, I better say something else, but I remembered this advice, and it was excruciating.
But how is that an interview if he's not asking you anything?
But he was, but just sort of like taking time, his introverted time, to think between... He's like, you know, I can't remember who it was, somebody gave me the brilliant advice, said, don't let that make you nervous. Mm. But it
that's
was.
That's great advice.
But that felt like a real test of metal.
For as much as I'm someone who loves being comfortable in silence with really good friends and family, I am terrible for feeling that need to fill awkward silences. And I kind of envy people that are just cool enough to just sort of say one word and just go, and look at you. And I'm like, I'm the person, I turn into like a court jester.
Yeah.
And I just start literally like, and then then people must think, who is that idiot? And why is he acting in that way? And also, it's not the real me, you know, but
it's
you feel this compulsion to like fill the air because no one else is saying anything.
Yeah, and I've felt that, and that's really hard. I think it's control freaks. Hi, James.
Yeah.
Hi, James. who take on that responsibility.
Yeah. Whereas I've really tried the last few years to try to not be that person, and actually, you know, especially if it's more than one of you, it's not just you one-on-one. If it's a group of you, why are you the one that's doing all the work? And like I said, it basically... talking a lot of inane prattle.
I don't think I do that. I think always on sets, because obviously I've done it since I was so little, I'm very used to the big gaps in between, so I always have a book. So I just, it only occurred to me quite late, and I thought, oh, I hope that doesn't strike anyone as rude, but as soon as it's, you know, they're setting up, or I just go and pick up my book again. I don't go and sit and gossip and sit with everyone. I just continue, because I think, well, we're doing this for months and months and months. There's loads of reading I could get done that time. Or similarly, you know, I remember doing a film and someone said to me, the director doesn't say anything. So if he doesn't, you don't expect him to give you any feedback. That's not an indication of his dislike. There's no problem. But again, you kind of think, oh, no, I'm fine with that. But they obviously anticipated me thinking, oh, I need him to give me a response. I need to know. I thought, no, I'm quite...
But that says everything that we've been saying. It's like people are so... Everybody's naturally assumes that silence is a bad thing. And it's not.
No.
I think it's great.
Also, we are surrounded by so much noise now, aren't we? With social media and just walking around. I mean, life is just hectic and noisy. So I think any chance you can get to grab a bit of quiet time... I mean... You know, and I say that to somebody who's always got headphones in. So I, you know, should probably try and embrace not to doing that so much.
And how do you feel about this? I don't want to bang on forever about this topic, but there's so much around this. I feel my husband and I, much like you and your friend on your holiday, are really, really happy. Very comfortable in each other's silence. But when you're out at dinner or something, I'm always paranoid that people are thinking, look, it's that couple who've run out of things to say to each other. So then I go the other way, and if he says something vaguely funny, I'm, look, everybody, we're
happy.
We're old and we've got still so many interesting things to say to each other. So I get really self-conscious about what other people are thinking about that. It's crazy, right?
Don't eat out, Joe. Just stop eating out. Because I know you mean, because nobody wants to be that couple in the restaurant,
and
do you?
You do spot them. You spot a silent couple
and
more than
think,
one chatting.
We're never going to be like that, darling. When you're younger, you do. You think, oh, God, look at those.
Oh, God.
They've got so middle-aged and sad. And so that's what I'm always thinking that people might be thinking. Yeah. If there's ever a moment where Ross and I aren't animatedly sort of like chatting away.
Throwing your heads back and laughing.
Yeah. Oh, I hope you can see the difference. Not that anyone's business, but I hope you can see the difference between kind of a stony silence.
People are comfortable in silence
Just around at home, I'll start sort of like fondling him under the table with my leg or something so people know it's still going on.
But in silence.
Yeah.
So finally this week then, Joelvin, Ophelia Loverbond. Is it just me who has zero poker face? And when I say that, I mean somebody who basically pretty much wears all of my emotions, thoughts, deepest desires on my face pretty much all of the time.
I've got a good poker face.
Well, you should, really. Yeah. You would be a terrible actress.
Need one,
but there is a difference between acting and lying. Like, when it's with someone... Because people always...
There?
Yeah!
It's just elaborate lying, isn't it?
It's
your
just,
job?
It's just lying with different clothes on. I'm very good at surprises. I love getting surprises, but the people around me tend to not like them as much. But I love the kind of the skullduggery of arranging something and kind of tricking them. I mean, my mum's birthday, she didn't think anything was going on, and we'd arranged a trip to Venice, and she didn't know about the booking. I'd done everything, and I have a very good poker face.
But are you ever worried in that situation of really pissing off the person with, you know, they had other plans or... My husband would be terrified to plan me a surprise party because if you get me on the wrong day.
I think a surprise party is a genuine shock though. Whereas I think a surprise holiday is actually, that's a nice surprise. I mean, I say this, I was that twat that basically thought, you'll never get one over me. Yeah, everyone always knows surprise parties are happening. You know, there's so many glaringly obvious signals. And I remember I was at work and all people work saying, what do you do for your birthday? I was going, blah, blah, nothing. And then a guy at work said to me, I'm going home for my surprise, in air quotation marks, birthday party. And I went into one in front of all my work colleagues going, embarrassing. Everyone always knows when they're having a surprise birthday party. He's like, yeah, my wife's so bad at keeping these things to a secret, la, la, la. Anyway, I then go and leave work. I go out to dinner with a friend and then I come back to our house to get changed to go out that night. And I literally walk in and my house is full of people, including all the people at work.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And they go, you are an idiot. They all saw you. They pulled the wool over your eyes. But it was a genuine shock. And for about an hour, I couldn't really relax.
Did you not like it? Was it a horrible
shock?
Well,
no, I was really taken aback and really chuffed. But it was just the actual shock. It took a while for that to wear off.
But
and then I ended up having a really good... Yeah, you just felt like such an idiot because I got into one about this whole, like, you know... dialogue about, people always know.
So could you, if someone was talking about, say something they really wanted as a present and you'd got it for them.
Yeah.
But as a surprise, you'd give it away.
Oh, no, now that's a nice, that's not a shock.
That's a good poker face then.
Poker faces are a good thing, I think. My poker face gets me in trouble because, like I said, if somebody asks me, what do you think of my new boyfriend? Or what does this outfit look like? I literally don't even need to say anything. And they're like, I'll take you back then. Or I'll dump him then. You know, I mean, literally, it's that bad. And it's really annoying. Because I wish I wasn't like that. Because
there's ways around that. My friend says, this is quite mean. But if, you know, you've seen a play and you didn't really enjoy it. And they come out and they go, so what did you think? You're going to go... good is not the word. And you've not lied.
That's a good one.
There was a designer in a fashion capital who everybody sort of like had that situation with. And I always used to say, just go in and go, you've done it again. That was always my favourite. You've done it again. Maybe a bit of an applause.
Yeah.
That sort of a thing. Done.
I always find
So you've got a good poker face.
Well, I sometimes think so, but then a former colleague of James and mine from Glamour once told me that everybody in the office could tell literally by the way I walked into the room whether or not I had a good mood or not. And I was completely freaked out by that, that it had obviously been discussed.
Oh my God,
I wonder
what it is.
But I don't know if that person was even right about that or not, but there was apparently just the way I walked in the morning would tell people. Do you have any comment on that, James Williams?
Well, to be honest, I think it may have been the wedge heels. They made a lot more noise. I mean, once you gave those up, I didn't notice anywhere near as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, well, I guess body language is very important, isn't it?
Yeah.
And body language, I've got some friends who are, I always think, God, you must just have a much nicer heart than me, because they just, they can just not show it on their face. Whereas I'm going to be like, even if I don't want to do something, if somebody suggested doing something, I'm like, you know what, you've just seen it. That's my face in action.
It's,
I'm like,
when you actually feel your face colouring up in a way that you know.
And you're trying to control it, and you can't think it's happening. Yeah.
But in a weird way, I guess, you know where you stand with the lack of poker face, I suppose. People,
but then that's trying to strike a balance between, you know, because my mum was always really good growing up. She, if I tried something on and she really didn't think it looked very good, she would say, but in a very lovely way.
Yeah.
But then that meant that I trusted her when she said she did like something.
I
believed it. So she somehow managed to do that without me thinking that my flower power flares weren't a good idea. They were a great idea. They were a great idea. Yeah. I wish I still had them.
No, because that's the thing. We've talked a bit before about, you know, sometimes honesty isn't always the best policy. It can be quite crushing. And also, some people now tend to go, I'm just being honest.
You're being blunt.
You're also being a bitch. Or you're being quite insensitive. Or you're trampling all of my feelings.
No, so, I don't like the just being honest
brigade. No, we've talked about those a lot. Say,
brigade.
Because they just feel like they're doing...
It's a brigade. Yeah. I'm sure there's an emblem.
Yeah, they probably...
a banner.
What's the collective term?
And they feel they're doing you a favour as well. Like, I'm just being honest with you.
And when they proudly sort of go, I just call it like I see it. It's like, you know what I mean?
I just tell it like it is.
Yeah.
There's a difference. There's a big difference between being mean and being honest.
Well, I guess I'm worried that my lack of poker face is putting me in with those twats.
No, they're different. That's a different parade of people, definitely.
No, you're not a hurtful person.
Okay, just my hurtful lack of poker face. No, I mean, it's a tricky one. But it also means I can never be a gambler. So I mean, that's one vice I will never have.
Or an actor.
Yeah, that is a strange thing when there's quite a few moments in this play where there are kind of big reveals and my character's the one who's in the dark. So it is quite strange. Sometimes you do have this kind of out-of-body moment, kind of think, I wonder if I do look surprised, because obviously I've done this like 100 times.
Do you do
times
that
now.
Joey Tribbiani doing a math in his head?
Joey Tribbiani's acting school skills are very helpful. You're doing long division, there we go.
Forget Lee Strasberg. It's all about Joey Tribbiani.
I bet a lot of people go there. But you do.
Well, the smell the farts. I mean, that's another classic with Joey one, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you love the fact that everyone will know what we're talking about? That's so prolific, his that scene.
It's iconic.
Yeah, it really is.
I know that word gets bandied around a lot, but, you know.
In fact, I'm going to a pub quiz next week, which is all Friends themed. In fact, it's Ryan Hattrick, who you know.
You should have had me.
Irish Ryan, friend of William Banks Blaney.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he's hosting a pub quiz. It's all Friends trivia.
He did a pub quiz, for William's birthday. For our birthday, it was.
Ironically, my friends did not invite me to this Friends pub quiz.
That's
fine. No poker face here.
You're always invited, Joe. Yeah.
It goes without saying.
Sideline. But, I think that draws a nice line. And
yeah, yeah, I was invited.
I don't know what the answer is, but
My poker face is in full effect.
Yeah.
Ophelia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm not quite sure, you know, what we accomplished, but we had a jolly good time with you while we did it.
Great.
Yeah.
I get told that a lot.
Yeah.
No, it's not about you, it's
about
me.
Accomplished.
And there wasn't an awkward silence, which is always good on a podcast.
No, they were comfortable ones.
Very comfortable ones.
Well, we're just going to all sit here now, aren't we?
Yeah.
And just not say anything. Yeah.
Yeah, just stare at each other.
You can hang around for that if you like. Or you can, you know.
Oh, God, please don't.
Get on with something more relevant in your day. We don't mind. We're comfortable with you in our silence. Yeah.
Embrace the silence, people, because you're about to encounter one, because we're at the end of another show. But thank you, Ophelia, for joining us.
Thanks.
And good luck with whatever else you've got coming up. Are you having some time off after the play?
No, just to see what happens. There seems to be lots more interesting roles now for women coming around, so
absolutely.
That's quite exciting.
If you get a spare day, take me vintage shopping. I just think your vintage game is strong.
Thanks.
Mine is not.
Oh God, so, I've got yeah. I love. I mean, you've got to be happy to get out a needle into bed though, because they never fit.
Oh right, okay. I'm out.
All right, that destroyed that dream really quickly. Sorry.
We'll have to think of something else.
Enjoy that vintage shopping on your own.
In silence.
Thanks.
Thanks, Ophelia.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.